Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a beautiful day. Glory to God. You know, the purpose of us coming here or anywhere that the word of God is preached is not so that we increase our knowledge. That would be good, but that's like secondary. It's not that we increase our knowledge, because otherwise we have a lot of knowledge. There's so much knowledge, and that is, you know, there is the cult of knowledge. And that's the cult that Paul encountered when he went to Athens, where the scripture says there were people who were always looking for something new. And it's an obsession. It's something they want. So there is that cult where, you know, these people are, what new are you telling us? And, you know, and it's just an entertainment, getting to know some new things, apparently for the sake of knowing. And it hardly ever exceeds that. Now, that's not the purpose of us coming here or anywhere where the word of God is preached. The purpose of going where the word of God is preached is so that we change our consciousness. We change what we are conscious of. In other words, whatever we hear has to change what we are actively conscious of. Because now there's something so important I want to teach you here, because it's the bedrock of manifestation. Because what you're conscious of and perpetually conscious of is what is going to determine your manifestation. And it determines, first of all, it determines your behavior, then it determines your manifestation, because you're permanently conscious of it. Now, that is where, that is the purpose of you coming to hear the word of God, so that it affects what you're conscious of all the time, what you're thinking about, what you, when you walk around, you know, how you see yourself. I'll give you an example from, you know, this earthly world. You see this Baganda here? Eh? I have a friend who was like that. They go and tell somebody, you a mulangira. Now that means absolutely nothing. You understand? Eh? You're still in the same hustle as other people. And but they tell somebody, you are what? Mulangira, which means some ancestor of yours apparently at some stage 300 years ago was king. Now that means absolutely nothing. Okay? It's not going to change anything. But then you tell it to them and you see it has affected their consciousness. And you see they start walking, for us, Mulangira, we don't do this. For us, we don't do this. We are not supposed to do this. You understand? And they start expecting even people to treat them in a certain way, because apparently somebody told him belongs to a certain clan. Now, of course, if you are that kind of person, it's okay. But the point is, okay, it's really not okay, but you know, eh? Because now somebody like that will actually, it will completely affect all his consciousness, everything that he's conscious of. He goes to certain places, he cannot do this because we are Mulangira. And what? And then it actually means absolutely nothing. But now that same person will read 1 Peter 2:9, which says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood of God. But it will not change his consciousness. He will not wake up tomorrow and say, there are certain things I'm not going to do because I'm a royal priesthood. No, he has it in his head. So when you tell him that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, okay? It does not affect him enough to change his consciousness. So it's just a scripture. Even when you start quoting it, he'll tell you 1 Peter 2:9, and that's it. Now imagine if he attached the same value to this. This one doesn't mean nothing. This one means everything. The whole world will treat you like royalty. You see, eh? Because this comes with the power of the Creator. The other one comes with nothing. Just some empty culture. But you see, the other one, he would attach importance to it and it will change his manifestation and the way he looks at things. This one, he will just say, yeah, 1 Peter 2:9. You're chosen a royal priesthood. Royal, that sounds good. Now, would you rather be royalty to man or to God? But you see, this cannot mean anything to you unless it starts changing how you look at the what you're actually conscious of. The things that when you wake up, what are you thinking about? So now you come here, then they tell you you're blessed. And then it sounds good, and then you even know the scriptures which were used. But you wake up tomorrow and say, I am blessed. I cannot do this. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I cannot, you know. If you kept that thing conscious in your mind of saying, I am a blessed person, I'm a blessed person, within a short time, it will start manufacturing things in that line. But you see, you're going to keep it long enough for you to finish having tea here, and then you go, and then you've forgotten it tomorrow. And then it does not ever manifest because you never kept it actively in your conscious, in your thought process. So it remained there. So it is knowledge that you have that is of zero impact because you've not let it affect your day-to-day thinking and how you perceive yourself on a daily basis. And if you actually let it do that, it would change everything. Praise the Lord. Now, it will start by changing the things you see about yourself, how you behave. And you see, it starts with a word, usually from God, in the positive direction. Sometimes in the negative direction, it starts with the word from the enemy. But unfortunately, it's not just either God or the enemy. The third one, which is just as powerful, okay, usually in people's lives, is the voice of their life experiences condensed. Amen? Now, for instance, you grew up and went to school and somehow people told you that, let's say you're not beautiful. And now somehow the whole school seemed to concur on that. Of course, it's nobody here, but my point is, the children at school differ on so many things, but when it comes to you being ugly, they all agree. I'm trying to give you an impression of, imagine what that person would go through. Then you come and you read that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, but the voice of your experiences are too strong for that word to penetrate you. Okay? And somehow that word becomes what the Bible calls a stronghold in your life. Either it comes through words you've had or experiences. For instance, you had experiences throughout your life of lack. You're always lacking something. School fees was always a battle. You pay it just before you get your report. You know, everything is like that. Your parents were always talking to the bursar, promising, while other people just delivered their children and so on. So now there is that whole background. Now that voice is also very strong. Then there is the voice of God. Then of course there is the voice of the enemy which tries to keep you somewhere. Okay? So then you come and you listen, let's say today, to the voice of God which says something. And then you choose that in all my life I have known nothing but lack. But the word of God says I am blessed. So how about I start actually believing the word of God? But you see, the word of God is now digging through a mountain. So you have to stick there. You have to stay there, wake up every day and say, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Because now that is shooting down that stronghold in your life, which is so strong and it has been built. It's like a rock. You know these rocks which are developed over hundreds of years? Yours has been developed over so many years, the stronghold of poverty. And it is somehow there. Now, of course, you see, you'd want for it to change suddenly. And for the most part, people wish. So if I'm blessed, how come I'm not seeing anything? No, it doesn't work like that. You have a part to play in it. You have a serious part to play in it. Keep that in your consciousness and see how it is going to work for you in a time not, and starts working slowly. You see, you might not manifest sudden blessings all of a sudden. But the first thing that happens is a few characters, a few things of yours, actions of yours start pointing in a certain direction. And I tell you, unless you do that, you can be in the midst of money and you're still poor in your heart. You've seen people like that. They have money, but they are very, very poor. And they are very, and that's because it's outwardly, but not inwardly. They have not really gone through. So this process, you cannot avoid it. Don't think that money is going to come and it changes your consciousness. It will not. It has failed to do that for other people. But then when your consciousness changes, it will bring the money. And now the money will come at a different, you know, when you actually know you are there. You're right there. I'll give you an example. When I had what I call a minimalist thinking, everything has to be minimum. You know, you go someplace and you want let's say, phone. Then they tell you this one is this amount. You always look at the list and it's in your mind. That is a stronghold of minimalist thinking. Okay? You're traveling and you go to a hotel or an inn, then say, we have rooms of 70K, then those of 150K, then those 200K. Can I have a look at the 70K? Like always, your mind will go to the minimalist because that's what is in your mind. That's the stronghold. That is the voice of your life, what you've gone through in life. But then you can change that. You can change it because I have changed it. Okay? And I used to be like that all the time. And you're always thinking, and in your mind, you think you're saving money. And you've had those things, save money. I'm Nang, we are sleeping in the same room. Eh? I mean, the other one is in a bed, I'm also in a what? He's covering himself with a mattress, I'm also covering myself with what? Eh. But for him, he's paying 300K, me, I'm paying 70. And now you see, when that consciousness, or anything you're conscious of, is a part of you and you're always conscious of that thing, it becomes, in the spirit world, like a cloth. You're clothed in it. So now people can actually see you like that. They can see that this one is poor. Somebody was telling me of some guy who had just hit a jackpot of money. So he went to a certain place. And then the waiters or waitresses, whatever, took a while to come. Then he said, these people don't, they know that Omugaga has come. Now you see, have you seen people like that? But you see, it can change over a period of time. But you see, you're clothed in poverty. And people can see it. You think people can't see, but they see it. They absolutely see it. You might even have a lot of money in your pocket because maybe you had a jackpot. But you're clothed in poverty. I'll give you an example from something else. Now, and this actually happened. Some lady comes and tells me, I don't know what's wrong with me. Everywhere I pass, even when I'm apparently very decently dressed, men who are doing other things, such, sister, so good, yeah, so like, and yet this is somebody who is born again, not like that, that's not there, but there's something they are clothed in. And then other women will pass who are more beautiful and even dressed in a more provocative way, and these men will continue playing whatever. They will not even look up. But for her, she comes decently dressed, and what? And then suddenly, what? Because there's something she's dressed, and now you think you can change it outwardly. You can't. But it is inside, and you're clothed in it, and someone doesn't have to be spiritual to see it. They will always see it, that this person has this. Now, the beauty of it is by just changing what you're conscious of, you start changing your clothes. And then you start wearing something different. And then somehow, people who used to see in a certain way start seeing totally different way. And you think people don't see, even the most carnal person sees in the spirit. That's how they will know. And I know this because I remember there's some place I used to work, and there was this lady. You just looked at her and knew she's not a joke. You see, some naughty friend of mine said she's not user-friendly. Now, and you could just see it. And everybody knew that one, if you go there, you have to be going there for marriage. She never said that to anybody. But just the aura she put on. And the first person who went and asked her out, they got married. Because people who were unserious looked at her and said, So now, they look for those who are user-friendly. Now, you see now, you think that it's just like that. It is not. There is something she has put on. And how does she put it on? Very easy. What are you conscious of? When you wake up in the morning, are you conscious of a blessing? You wake up in the morning and say, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. And what? Then you walk all the day reminding yourself all the time that I am blessed. It will go away and maybe what you are used to will try to come back. Then you bring yourself back and say, no, I'm blessed. It might not yet be in the wallet, but just keep on saying that. Keep on saying it. Then the next day, say it. Then the other day, say it. Now your cloth begins to change. And now you actually start putting on the cloth of somebody who is blessed. And now in the spirit world, let me tell you, there are people, demons will look at you and know this one is there for the, like, there's something you've not dressed yourself up in. Okay? The other day we were talking about school stories of what? Of, you know, those weird things. Eh? So somebody told us a story of some girl who they bullied, some school. Yeah, I remember the school, the Nagalama. Then at night, the demon came and it was talking in the dormitory up there and they were hearing it. And it was saying, you people in Uganda, how can you bully my Muzukuru? Huh? Didn't even says the name. Over like Nakakao, I don't know, something like that. I hope they said. Then says, Mumu, like, how do you even touch her? Yeah? Like, and all the students are there, quiet. You know those things of an S1? An S1, and you think you're going to bully, then you find out that the devil has a what? A stake in it. Eh? So that everybody is there, quiet, and they are hearing the voice, but they are not seeing anybody. This is, but you people, how do you, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Everybody is like this. You know those S4s who like to bully, eh? All of them are now what? Humble. Then it says, okay, this time I have forgiven you. But if you touch her again, I'm coming back here. Then he said, I can't just go like that. I cannot just forgive you like what? Like that. So it says, I have to go with somebody. And there's some girl who was in the sick bay who died at that point. Now after that, those bullies would see that girl and they walk inside. Because, and now that's it. Now the thing is, I realized that those things ended when we stopped being conscious of them. Have you ever realized that? There was a time when I started like seeking the Lord and growing in the knowledge of God. Then I would go to sleep. Then I see a demon. Then I see a demon. Then I see. And then at one stage, I got tired of seeing demons. And then I prayed and said, but why am I seeing demons? Then the Lord told me that it's because that's what you're conscious of. There are angels around you, but you're not conscious of them. You know, when you're there, people, the first thing people think of spirituality is demons. You know that. Eh? Yeah. They never think that I'm going to see an angel. And that is your consciousness. So it affects everything because that's what you're conscious of. Now, if you walked, the other day I woke up and decided to take a small walk like this as I was praying. Then suddenly, I became conscious of the fact that there was an angel walking with me as I walked like this. And now I could almost see him. And I was hearing footsteps behind me. And of course, I knew there's nobody. So I became conscious of the fact that there's an angel. Now, if I develop that consciousness and completely develop it, I would see him. But then, spirituality has always been associated in this traditional thing with what? Mizimu. That's why people would hear Bukala Band at schools. Until people stopped telling those stories, then the Bukala Band has what? Disappeared. Because nobody was conscious of them any longer. Praise the Lord. Now I'm trying to tell you this. That you start from somewhere and decide you're going to be conscious of something which you want to see yourself, a cloth which you want to put on. Amen? And you say, I want to put on the cloak of a superloaded person. I am blessed. I am rich. The Bible says that. You know that, eh? Yeah, it says that. It says you're rich. Now the question is, would you pick it out of the pages of the Bible and make it affect your consciousness? If you could, it's just a matter of time before you actually become rich. Because unlike those words of Yemulangira, which mean nothing, these ones come with the power of God backing them up. Amen? And that power will make you what you actually wear, put on. That's why it says put on. It actually talks about putting on. I'll give you an example. Everybody who is born again is righteous. Did you know that? But some people are carrying around a cloak of sin. They're like Joshua, the high priest, in the book of Zechariah chapter 3. Okay? And they don't know that the Lord said that what? Zechariah chapter 3. Go there. So you walk around. Now you can walk around knowing that, man, I'm forgiven. God has absolutely nothing against me. He actually matters me like this. And it is a consciousness, and you're totally conscious of it. And now that will affect everything. Actually, all other consciousnesses come from that, because you don't ever at any one time condemn yourself. Never. You know what the Bible says about you, and you have let it affect you, and you know God has nothing whatsoever against you. When he sees you, he sees Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Now, when you put on this cloak of sin, yet you're righteous, and you're actually walking around with somebody who somehow has a lot to do to please God, even the devil sees it. And then he does not obey your command, because he sees who you are. Because if even carnal people can see it, of course the devil can see it. That you're moving around with the cloak of condemnation. So you feel condemned. So he looks at you and he knows, this one I know where to start. Now you see he's standing there at the right hand, opposing Joshua the high priest. Okay, go to the next verse. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Okay. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Okay. Clothed in filthy garments. Some people still clothe themselves with filthy garments. Yet actually, they are clothed in righteous garments. But their consciousness is that of filthy garments. And it's possible, just like it's possible for somebody to actually apparently be rich, but in their mind they are poor. And in everything else they are poor. And he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity, okay, from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, that is me. Now, when you get born again, they take away the filthy garments and they clothe you with rich robes. The trouble is those robes are in a place where you have to embrace it in your consciousness. If you woke up in the morning and say, oh man, I am forgiven. God has nothing against me, absolutely nothing against me. I am righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I am rich. I am blessed. And you start actually letting that thing even affect your mood. And it affects your mood, and you work yourself into a certain mood based on the word of God. Now, if you do that for 1 month, a second month, I'm telling you, within a short time, it starts manifesting and it cannot stop. Because it moves from the conscious mind, which you control, to the subconscious mind. Okay? Now, subconsciously, you start knowing certain things about yourself. Just like somebody can be, and I've seen people like that. Very beautiful, but subconsciously they are ugly. And you can't convince them they are beautiful. So even when a boy wants to ask them out, if he says, ah, man, you're very beautiful, she says, I don't like liars. You're a liar. Man, because you're going against what she has always believed against herself. And then when somebody comes and says, ah, but man, you're fake, she says, I love this guy. Eh? Because this guy has finally connected with what she thinks about herself. You've had women saying that, I don't like him because he's too good. You've heard that. Eh? I used to wonder what that is. How can you not like somebody because he's too good? What do you want? Too bad. That's something only women can understand. You cannot, even if you read all the books in the world, if you're a man, you cannot understand that. That is too good for me. What do you want? Eh? But you see, now that is in their consciousness, what they are saying is, I don't deserve him. See, eh? Now, they will not say that. They make it look like they have some choice. And I don't like this, I like that. No, it's just that you have your issues. Eh? And you want somebody to receive you at your level. Yeah, the guy says, man, Utambula will be your name, buddy girl. And you say, this is my guy. Eh? Then he says, at least for him, he speaks the truth. The other one is lying. But you know, let me tell you, eh? Like, if the words that we hear, if we knew that now, like today, if you knew how much the devil wants to come and, you see, Jesus said, in Mark chapter 4. Start from verse 10. It says, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that seeing, they may see and not perceive.'" Okay? Now, what causes somebody to see something and not perceive it? Because they are just seeing it with their eyes. They are not letting it actually go inside where it affects them. Like the other guy who I used to work with, who Dimulangira. Like, it means nothing. But you see, it had entered him. Now, he perceived that he's a what? Hey. And now there it's where. Now he says, "And hearing they may hear, but they don't understand. They don't read. It does not get through to them. Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven." Go to verse 13. Then he said, you know, this is the parable of the sower. Eh? Then he said, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then would you understand all the parables? Let me tell you this. If you understand that everything in the kingdom of God starts with a word, just the word. Now, how you treat that word? Now, he says, if you don't understand this parable, you will not understand anything else. You failed. What's the basic thing? Alphabet. So you cannot go ahead and study literature when you don't know the what? This is the starting point. You have to know this is the parable of all parables. The one of the sower. It starts with the word. Then the word comes and is given. And then it is up to you to receive it one way or the other. Praise the Lord. Now, and he says, how then would you understand all the parables? If you do not understand this one, then it's even pointless telling you all the others. Because the others have a complex. But this one is this simple. God sent his word and healed them. And delivered them from all their destructions. Psalms 107 verse 20. Amen. He sent his what? Yeah, in the Old Testament, he gave them his word. In the New Testament, he actually sent his word in flesh. And that is the basis of everything. So if you don't understand that this, the sower went out to sow, this parable. And there's not a time when I've preached upon it so many times, but every time it seems to astound me because it is a very, very, you know, foundational thing. Then it goes on to say in verse 14, listen, the sower sows the word. Go ahead. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes it away. Now you think Jesus is talking what he doesn't know. He knows that as soon as I finish here, there is a demon which has been assigned to you to take these words away. And tomorrow you wake up and your consciousness is still poverty. And when he says Satan, he means Satan. He does not mean your landlord. Although your landlord might be the vessel. You see, eh? Don't call your landlord Satan, eh? Well, because you others, you're staying in the house of who? But my point is this. Somebody will call you as soon as you finish. Now you've left on a high. You're conscious of, I'm blessed, you know. There's a certain high you're in. Eh? Then somebody calls you and tells you, "Yagala Sendezang." And now suddenly everything has been forgotten. Now that's when Jesus says Satan, he means Satan. And he actually, now Satan values the word so much that he's ready to assign as how many people are here, as many people as are here, demons. To wait, as soon as you finished here, something distracts you, and in the morning you don't remember any longer what you had. And then he does that again and again. He has all the time in the world. Okay, he has until, you know. Now for him, he thinks the word is that important. When you think you're here to get knowledge, the knowledge is not going to go. Satan is not going to go into your memory. You remember tomorrow, you remember what I preached about. You even have the scriptures written somewhere, maybe in your phone. So Satan does not come for your memory. He comes for your consciousness. Amen? So that something distracts you, landlord. Then somebody will give me my money. I want my money. Then suddenly you left here feeling blessed. Then now all the weight of everything else weighs in on you. By the time you go to sleep, you don't feel blessed any longer. So in the morning, you cannot wake up and you're conscious of the blessing. Of course, when he tries, you say, "I don't have your money. I'll give it to you when I get it. Thank you very much. Bye. I am blessed. Like, refuse him to change your mood. Amen? or refusing to change your consciousness. And it is not a person. Those people are just, it is the devil. He will bring up something. Something. Now Jesus says Satan comes and immediately, comes immediately. Sometimes even when you're listening to the word yourself, at that moment, he's giving you his interpretation. Have you ever heard things like that? So I come and say, I'm rich. And say, yeah, you're rich because you're eating people's tithe. I don't eat anything. And you hear that voice inside you and you think it's you. Eh? And it's the devil who is telling you. Then everything is countering it. He's countering it. And if there's something he can't counter, he will divert you. And say, but now, this guy has taken long without paying you. When do you think he's going to pay you? And what now? That, and you see, the demons have that time. And you think they are not there. But Jesus said Satan comes immediately and takes the word away. Now, that means that he knows how powerful the word is. Because if that word comes into your consciousness and you are actually conscious of it for a long enough period, it is going to transform your life. Now, that is your duty, not the duty of God, to keep it in your consciousness. Amen? God is not going to determine what you're daily conscious of. Praise the Lord. And what cloth you put on, how you're dressed, all the issues of life. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, 4:23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. All diligence. Imagine that. Eh? All diligence. The way you would guard your treasure. He says, because out of it flow all the issues of life. Now, the heart is the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is actually deeper than the conscious mind. But when something stays in you long enough, in your consciousness long enough, it goes now into your subconscious mind. Now, you don't have to actively think about it for you to believe it. Amen? Because it has already been deposited somewhere there. Now, it's already having an effect on your life. Because you thought about it long enough, but it cannot go from your mind to your consciousness and straight to your subconscious mind in a matter of a few days. No, it can't. That's why there has to be a diligence. Diligently. Amen? Yeah. Now, there are certain things which I struggled to believe. I absolutely struggled to believe. Now, I told you I was a minimalist. Always going for the cheaper version. The cheaper what? Option. Then in those days when I bought my first car, there was a car, I don't know if I've forgotten what it's called. They say that, Zinywaburunji. And then actually that is like the major consideration of you buying a car. That's how a minimalist thinks. There's somebody, how is the fuel consumption? How many kilometers per liter? Then he's calculating in his mind. You are never going to be blessed when you're like that. It means you're conscious of lack. And now you can want abundance all you want, but your consciousness is full of lack. And if you are going to ever experience abundance, you have to first change your consciousness and wake up and say, I am abundant, I'm abundantly blessed and what? And first say it with just your words, even if you might not believe them. But say it long enough until it starts even affecting your mood. And then for the first time, you go and choose something which is not minimal. So if they told you a room of 70K and that's where you went, next time you say, okay, at least the middle one. The second one is how much? 150. The other one is 300. You say, okay, at least the 150. Then now you're beginning to. You see, because abundance has to be practiced. Let me tell you. You cannot experience abundance unless you first practice it. And you practice it when there is nothing. When there is nothing of it. But you're practicing. Amen? Now, some people think that you first become abundantly blessed, then you practice. You will not. You're like those who say, if I have a salary of 1 million, I don't give tithe. If I have a salary of 10 million and I have 9 million left, I will give tithe. You will not. That's what Jesus said. You will not. There are certain things which you have to prove to yourself. If you're someone who doesn't pay debts, even if you get a lot of money, you will not pay what? Hey, you're just a fake person. So you have to determine that regardless, even if it's all I have, and it becomes a part of you. That I'm going to pay. Now, all these things are practiced. Abundance is practiced. When you start wanting to practice abundance, God will show you certain things. Anyway, let me first quote here. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, there are certain things which God does and says, which you wonder, what was he thinking when he said them? Some of them even in the Old Testament. Like in Leviticus, he told the children of Israel that when you go to harvest, that's Don't harvest the corners or, you know, and harvest carelessly to leave some things for people who come to glean. Now, gleaning is those people who were poor and had no fields. So they would go after other people have harvested and then they get the leftovers. Imagine, let's say if we are talking about matoke. You know those people who sell, what? Miera, eh? Yeah, like that. The miera have broken off the bunch. Now, God says, if you've taken the bunches, leave the miera for those who are poor and don't have anybody. Don't, in other words, he's telling them as a law that practice abundance. Leviticus, he says, 19 verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Verse 10. And you shall not glean your vineyard. In other words, when you've gone once, don't go back. You understand? Now he's telling them, practice abundance. Leave poor people to come and do it. Because there were always poor people who did not have land or fields. And after the rich people have harvested the barley and the wheat and all that, they would come getting the, you know, the leftovers. And God says, as a law, don't go back for the leftovers. Don't. Imagine how he puts that in law. Because he's telling the children of Israel that if you want to be abundantly blessed, you have to practice it first. You cannot expect God to deal with you abundantly when for you a change of 100 shillings, change one guard you are. Like, let me tell you, you are never going to be abundantly blessed. Never. Not by God. Maybe by stealing some government money or something, but not by God. You have to practice it. Amen? In other words, what he's saying here, you will not take change. Leave it for the waiter. Now, you see her. Some of you, now like there's some guy, he ate food, then what? Then left a very old 1,000 shilling note as a tip. Then he told Ezozizo with this attitude, as if he had given like 100K. Then the waitress looked at the money and walked away. They said, so kokomeo. Then he took it and said, I've remembered tomorrow I'm going to church. I will need to give this one. Now, you can imagine where God makes it a law. You have to do this. He says, and I command you, do not go back. When you go and harvest your wheat and your barley and what, don't go back. Go once. The rest live for the poor, live for the fatherless, live for the widow. Praise the Lord. Now you're looking at me very badly. But I'm telling you that I know I started practicing abundance when there was none. Praise the Lord. Because I'd started consciously changing my thinking. Consciously. And now changing my minimalist thinking. And now I got out of this thing of somebody is wasting money. When somebody, you know, you say, have you had those things of somebody is wasting money? Yeah, that is poverty speaking. If you have ever told somebody that is wasting money, that is what? Yeah, that's the voice of poverty. Yeah, that's how exactly how poverty speaks. Unless maybe he has thrown it in a pit latrine. But if he has spent it on himself, and you say, now, how would you travel first class? Because we are going to arrive at the same time. Those who are, that is the voice of what? Yeah, that's the voice of poverty. Now, some things you have to practice before you see. First of all, you practice in your consciousness and think in a certain way. Then after you finished thinking that way, then now you start practicing. Pola and pola. And then you'll have tests. By the way, let me tell you, these things you see, God will test you. I remember one time, and I've told this story before. It was a Friday. I'd finished preaching. So I went to have dinner. And I sat down to have dinner. And I think it was some years ago, so I think maybe 50K was. Anyhow, I think it was 35K. So there was 15K. And that's all the money I had. All the money I had was that 50K. Then they brought back the balance of 15K. And then I said, keep the change. Yeah, but I felt it. Yeah, I felt it. But I was determined to practice abundance. I'm telling you this because it will, I was determined to practice a what? Abundance. So I said, her. Now I start picking these womanies. And then some of those people, when they want you to tip them, they'll bring 15K in 1,000 notes. And then some of you will pick them and start counting 1,000 notes. And God is looking at you, saying, how do you expect me to deal with you abundantly when for you you're dealing with people like... So anyhow, so I told the person, keep the what? Keep the change. At that moment, I felt rich. In my consciousness, praise the Lord. But in truth, I had 0 shillings left. 0. So anyway, I went home. But I forgot that I had 0 shillings left. So I went home and I slept. And I had a very good... I slept in. Saturday, I slept, slept, slept. Then I would wake up. I woke up at around midday. Then somebody was calling me. I want to see you. I want to see you. I said, ah, man, on Saturday, I don't leave home. I said, I want to see you. I want to see you. So reluctantly, I said, okay, where are you? Then she said, we met somewhere at a Java's. And she gave me $2,500. Now, that day, I woke up in the morning saying I wanted to go to the spa. Then somewhere along the way, I remembered I didn't have what? Money. But I never felt that I didn't have money. Have you practiced this thing so much? Where even when you don't have money, you don't know it. You're making plans for money, yet there is what? There is none. Now that means something has affected your consciousness. You're on the brink. Now, if you really want to experience it, that shows when it is you're permanently conscious of it, anything, good or bad, then you're on the brink of getting it. I experienced that so much in the bad. You're conscious of an accident. I remember that. There was a time I was coming from, I wasn't even driving, I hooked a lift with somebody. Poor guy, I messed up his car. Because I was the one who had consciousness of accident. So we're coming from Hoima, then we passed Masindi, and we're coming somewhere around Nakasongola. And the guy was driving in a very old Pajero. Okay, but still I had a consciousness of what? Of an accident. For some reason, I was thinking about an accident. The next thing I hear, pwah! The front tire burst. Then I'm seated behind, then I see the guy trying to control the car, then he fails. Then now he goes for a tree. And went, bam, hammered into a tree. And now, I just said, eh, man, sorry, guy, sorry, what? I jumped out and waved down a bus and came to Kampala. Yet I'm the one who caused him what? Trouble. I was conscious of that. Now, this is how it manifests, good or bad. Do you understand that? Don't allow it. The devil attacks you at the level of consciousness. You're here, then suddenly a thought crosses your mind. Did I lock my door? What if they come and steal my things? That is the devil asking, should I come and steal? Even God works the same way. You're there, then suddenly a thought crosses your mind. But why don't you buy your own house? Aren't you tired of renting? Now God is also asking for permission to bless you with what? Now you either if you take it and now get it into your consciousness that you're supposed to have, and then start thinking like, I want to have a house, and you build it, after some time you'll get the house. And it started as a suggestion. But then after that, from the Spirit of God, after that, then you took it up from there. Now you did all the work of keeping it there. Because you'll hear something that, aren't you tired of renting? And you say, man, renting is bad. Then what? Then you've forgotten. The next minute, yeah, you've forgotten. And you go straight back and you forgot that God was trying to suggest something. And that is true for so many people. Where you look back in your life and you realize God was actually trying to bring something into my life, but I'm the one who messed it up because I didn't take it up seriously. But when the devil came with his negativity, I was very fast to receive it. Okay? Now, all the time, That's what it says, guard your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. When you feel that now you are in a place of lack, that's when you practice abundance. Like I did that time. So I woke up in the morning saying, today I want to go to a spa. And what? I did not have the money for the spa. I was fooling myself. And apparently I wasn't expecting somebody to give me money. But then, when they gave me those dollars, I first went and exchanged a few right there. And then the next minute, I was in a spa. Man. Cheating. Praise the Lord. Now, it starts with the consciousness. Are you learning something here today? Now, if it does not get to the level of your consciousness, it's not going to manifest. And yet, you have the power to make it manifest. It is all up to you. So, you're not here to get knowledge. When you live here, pick something to say now, okay, I'm tired of brokenness. I am going to manifest abundance. Then you start waking up every morning deliberately, spend 5 or 10 minutes just telling yourself how blessed you are and how abundantly blessed you are. And then remind yourself throughout the day. All throughout the day, you keep on reminding yourself. At the beginning, you might think about it only like 30 minutes in a day. Eventually, it will be 3 hours in a day. Eventually, even when you're thinking other things, your subconscious mind is thinking about how blessed you are. Yet there is no evidence of it. But now you are on the brink of manifestation. Now that is the secret of manifesting the things that you want. Put on the cloth that you want. It is there. When you put it on, it is seen. Everybody sees it. And they know that this guy is rich. But if they were to ask how much money you have, there is nothing. You're not rich. But something is telling them that you're what? You're rich. Okay? Something is telling them that you're not user-friendly. And you've never said that. I knew the girl. She was some Muteso lady. Like she was very quiet. She would just come, get to her computer. But nobody would go and play games with her. She gave the impression she's not there for what? For games. So that is what she wore. Now, when you see that and everybody is responding to somebody, you know that they clothed it. That is the cloth they wear, and you know that is who they are. Amen? Yeah. And also when you see somebody who they are see earrings, sister, so-called, what, those things, eh? You know that's what they are. They might think otherwise, but that's actually who they are. Praise the Lord. Now, what you're going to manifest really is up to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says, Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now, I don't want you to think about this and think about it in terms of the way you would ordinarily think about it, of sin or what. But there's an old man that we talked about, that old personality of yours, the stronghold of poverty, let's say. That is the old man. The old man is poor. That's all I've known. I've never known abundance. When I see somebody enjoying life, as far as I'm concerned, they are wasting what? Money. There's a time I told people here in our partnership meeting, I told people, have you gone for a holiday? Have you guys gone for holidays? When was the last time you went for a holiday? Just to spend money. Then you think, I don't have it. You will not have it until you practice that thing. Amen? Just like I practiced keep the change when I had nothing left for myself. Anyhow, a few people listened to me and went to expand their souls. So you go to a whatever. Let me tell you, there are places you go to, eh? And you cannot remain the same. Eh? Eh, you've practiced. They automatically change your consciousness. Some guy told me, I'll take you to like some hotel somewhere, there is a golf course and what? Then you wake up at 8:30, then you have to have your breakfast very fast because they are taking you for a golf what? Golf lessons. So you go and you're driving, riding on that golf cart. And then you go and, you know. Now, in that moment, you feel rich. Now, when you come back, and of course that was, I couldn't afford it. It was this guy, you know. But you don't come back the same. Let nobody deceive you that you're going. Even when you come back into the casino, something inside you has changed. Eh? Something inside you is there's a witness inside you that, man, the bay is a bit higher. Eh? When they are teaching you golf swings, that is how they swing. Then you also, eh? Then you sit on those carts. Then they drive you to where the ball is. Eh? Life is good. Praise the Lord. Now, sometimes when you have a car, whatever, when you hit a car, don't think about needs all the time. Because you will pay all your bills and you remain where you are. But sometimes you have to quay warm. Praise the Lord. Because now you come back when you're conscious of different things, the things you're thinking about at a different level, and eventually they will manifest. Praise the Lord. They might not manifest to that golf thing yet, but at least if you are in a house of 800K, you might find yourself moving to one of 1.5K. Like something has changed by just you going and playing golf and being in those hotels with serious guys. Praise the Lord. But just to rub off you, glory to God. It says now, put off concerning your former conduct, your former self, your former minimalist self. I'll give that as an example. Okay? The old man, that was you. That was you with all your experiences, which demonstrate to you that you're not good looking, you're poor, you're not talented in anything. What, you know, people have things which they... Somebody can come and they think things of themselves and you are like, how did you ever come to believe that about yourself? Because it is so contrary to the truth. But because they've had it so long, it is actually what is in their conscious minds. So they have to put off the old man which grows corrupt. Now, it does not stop there, because if you have the poverty mentality, it will only become more poverty, poverty, poverty. It grows in poverty. You don't stop. It keeps on growing, corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Okay. And then it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the spirit of your mind is that subconscious mind. Amen? That subconscious mind. Because I can wake up and I have no money whatsoever, none whatsoever. But I'm planning things which are in big, big things. But I have none whatsoever. I don't allow my pocket to affect my consciousness. I know I am blessed. There's a time I told somebody that I have the financial anointing. I was talking about somebody else. I said, why don't they come here? I have the financial anointing. I know that. Then this guy looked at me like this, a man of God. And then I realized I sounded like I was bragging. But do you know how much money I had in my pocket? Probably like 100,000. That's all I had. That does not affect my conscience. I know who I am. You understand? In my consciousness, I am rich. Regardless of what my pocket says, I have meditated on that thing long enough that nothing of what happens outwardly changes what I believe about myself. Praise the Lord. Hey. So, of course, when you are like that, even when you have no money, the devil sees and he sees a rich guy walking and he knows, that one, you don't touch him. He's loaded. Loaded with 100,000 Uganda shillings. But just for a while, praise the Lord. Now, because you've renewed the spirit of your mind, it's not based on outwardly, you know, the experience outwardly. And it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Go on. And says, that you may put on the new man who was created in abundance, in righteousness. Okay? In all the beautiful things that Jesus has for you. Now, you put them on. You wake up in the morning, you put on righteousness. I told you it's like a cloth. And when it says put on, it's actually a cloth. You put on. So you put on righteousness. And you know Jesus died for me. I'm righteous. 100% righteous. I'm perfect as far as God is concerned. If I'm not perfect as far as you are concerned, I don't care about you. I am perfect as far as who? God is concerned. And then you put on the cloak of righteousness. Then when the devil sees you, he knows this one knows who he is. Then you put on the cloak of abundance. Now that's the new man, which was created according to what? To God. The new man. Now the new man is rich. You know the Bible says that. Okay? The new man is blessed. The new man is righteous. The new man is going from glory to glory. Choose what you want of all those. There's so many of them, you can just decide which one do I want to first pursue. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's time for Holy Communion. Amen? Now remember what Jesus said. This do as often as you do. In remembrance of what? Of me. Now, every time we have Holy Communion, which I think we should do monthly, every first Friday of the month, every time you have Holy Communion, you have to be conscious, because he says, You have to be conscious of what Jesus died for you to have. That's the purpose of it. That I'm conscious of what Jesus died for me to have. And that includes everything I've been telling you. So it's supposed to affect. So now you take, you say, Jesus died for me to have health. So you're conscious of health. You're conscious of wealth. You're conscious of abundance. You're conscious of all those. All that in that cup, bread and wine. Because that is the body and blood of Jesus. And it represents everything that Christ died for you to have. Everything. Redemption. Blessing. All those things. Victory. Amen? Victory over your enemies. And so on and so forth. So now this is what we are taking here today. Now when we are taking this Holy Communion, I want you to be conscious of all the wonderful things that Jesus died that you may have. You say, Jesus died so that I be rich. You know the Bible says that. Eh? Some of you don't believe it. But it says it. 2 Corinthians 8 what? 8, 9. Okay, you first put it on 2 Corinthians 8, 9. So that some people believe it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Amen? Now some people say, no, it meant rich spiritually. If it meant rich spiritually, then we have to believe that Jesus was poor spiritually. Can you believe that? No, it meant rich materially. Because Jesus was poor what? Materially. That's why he was born in a manger. He's talking about wealth. Wealth here. So imagine Jesus died so that you'd be rich. Among all the other things he died for. Praise the Lord. So now when you're taking, he said, Jesus said, do this as often as you do it in remembrance of what I did for you. So that you always remember that Jesus died for me to be rich. Jesus died for me to be redeemed. Jesus died for me that I live a full life. A victorious life, and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for that? Yeah. Are you ready to cast away the demon which comes to steal the word? Amen? You ready? Let's pray in tongues, everybody. And of course, if there's anybody who is sick of anything. The Lord actually yesterday talked to me about ulcers. If there's anybody who is sick of ulcers, now this bread and wine ends the ulcers here today. Amen. Ends the ulcers here today. And also, those people who have very painful periods, painful and irregular, prolonged. Now, there's somebody who has periods for almost half the month. Now, that is the devil. Eh? That's not God. Eh? Yeah. They are supposed to be in a certain period of time. So now, today, believe that it is going to change. Praise the Lord. Starting the next cycle, it is going to be regular and not painful and brief. As brief as they are supposed to be. Pray in tongues, everybody. Okay, let's have Holy Communion. Okay. Give out the bread and the wine. Okay, since these people are taking their time, let's read the scripture, which talks about Holy Communion. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. Go to verse 23. Start from verse 23. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it is who would do this thing, who would betray him, in other words. Now, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And then he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Okay? But now, so he says, do this in remembrance of him. So every time we do this, we are remembering everything, the body and the blood. The body that was broken so that our bodies are not broken. And the blood that was shed and gave us all the benefits of the new covenant believer. All the benefits that we spoke about. Everything that reversed the curse of Adam. So now, and takes us back to the bliss of Eden. Everything in this thing. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. So now, when we do this, we are keeping in our consciousness the fact that Jesus broke, his body was broken for ours. And his blood was shed for all everything that we ever shall need. Everything that we shall ever need. Health, wealth, redemption, victory, everything in his blood. So now that's what we have to keep in our consciousness. The righteousness. The sanctification. Everything. Amen? Now go to 1 Corinthians 11. Where it says, go back. Back. The previous verse, start from verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it says, is it not to eat the Lord's supper? Go ahead. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and the other is drunk. Now, I want you to notice what he's trying to say here. Okay? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and the other one is drunk. Now, this shows two things. Number one, usually they will not eat bread like this, although this is okay. But they would eat actual meals, actual bread. That's why some people would come when they are hungry and they want to get satisfied on the Lord's table. And then they would take wine, not Ribena. Because you can't get drunk on what? On Ribena. I just had to put that there. Now, because it says, and somebody says they used to take non-alcoholic wine, then it's a miracle that somebody would get drunk on what? Non-alcoholic wine. You know, some people are too, like, they used to take bread and wine, eh? Amen? Yeah. And one is hungry and another is drunk. So he says, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one, so now when they are supposed to have together the Holy Communion as a communion, some people are eating already when others haven't received. And others take a lot of wine and get drunk. Then it says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? So what he's saying that you eat at your home. So that when you come here, we are not eating to get satisfied. You've already eaten. You're eating as a communion, okay? To be in communion. Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Okay? And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance. That's the key thing I want to remember. Do this in remembrance. Always remember. Remembrance of me. Go ahead. There's something else I want to show you here. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So remembrance, remembrance. Every time remembering him. Go ahead. Then he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So we proclaim all the time that Jesus died for us when we do this. And this is what he's saying. This is one of the few ordinances that a New Testament, the Old Testament was full of ordinances. Do this, do the other, do the other, do the other. You know? And even, you know, in the Old Testament, they would say, wash your clothes. When you've touched a dead body, wash your clothes. That was a symbol of change your consciousness. That's why you say wash your clothes. Because clothes in the Old Testament, you know what's in the Old Testament was real, in the New Testament is spiritual. Okay? So every once in a while, you have to wash your clothes and take out some bad thinking, some negative thinking, some lack thinking, some poverty thinking, and so on. That's washing your clothes. So you'd say, stay outside the camp, wash your clothes, and in the evening, come back, you're clean. Now, that's very important. Of course, some religions still do wash their clothes now, but that's for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you this because religion has spoiled Holy Communion so badly that they make people say, you know, if you what, you have to confess every sin, every known sin. If you know any sin that you're committing, you're not born again. I don't know of any sin I'm committing. I don't know of any. Because I'm the righteousness of what? Yeah. Now, they say confess your known sin. Paul is not talking about whoever takes this, who is unworthy of it. No, he says in an unworthy manner. And he explained what manner he's talking about. Somebody eats and stuffs himself, another and drinks and gets drunk. Then that is the unworthy manner. Not the man. The man cannot be unworthy if he's born again. He's worthy. You understand? What is unworthy is the way, the manner, not the man. So now when you get that religious thinking out of you, that's why people used to fear taking Holy Communion. Say, ah, Munanga, I will die young. No. Unless you come here and stuff yourself and get all the bread and eat it. And then drink all the wine and get drunk. If it's wine, that is. If it's Ribena, you will just become what? Fat. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Please remember this. Because when we came from religion, this thing was pumped into you. Repent, repent. No. It is not the man. It is the manner that he's talking about, and he has described it before. You people come and shame the table of the Lord. It's supposed to be Holy Communion. People are stuffing themselves with food. Then he goes on to say, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Okay? Go ahead. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, not the man, okay, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, when you don't discern that here, when we sanctify this in a minute, this becomes the body of Jesus. And it means if you take it, you have a right to expect certain things, like healing of body, because you've taken the body of Jesus. Amen? And when you drink of the wine, you have a right to expect all the benefits that come to a New Testament believer. All of them. Praise the Lord. Now, that's why he says, some people die young. You die when you're still young because you have not discerned what this is. This is enough to keep you living long and long and long. Long may you live until the rapture. Amen? Yeah. If you take it in a worthy way. So please, I want you to remember, it does not talk about the man, it talks about the manner in which it is taken. You understand that? Eh? Okay, now let us bless this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we sanctify this bread and this wine this day. for the purpose of this communion. We sanctify it, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, because this is an ordinance that you left us. And even as we partake of this body, we remember that your body, Lord Jesus, was broken for us, that our own bodies might not be broken, that they might be whole. So as we take of this bread, and we bless you, Father, we thank you for it. Thank you for it, and I bless it, and I sanctify it for this purpose. Now, as we break it and take it, we believe for divine health and divine enablement in Jesus' name. Amen. In the same way, we took the wine, and we blessed it and sanctified it, and we believe that your blood was shed for us. And as we take of this, we remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we claim every benefit of the New Testament, every benefit of his sacrifice, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take the wine. And now I speak healing upon each and every person here who is not well in the name of Jesus, who is not well in Jesus' name. Like I said, somebody, the house has go as soon as you take this. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at The Realm, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministry, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman, and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.